The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Wednesday, everyone.
This is the Peter Boyle Show.
You count on it, 6 a.m. Wednesday morning, the 11th of November, 11-11-11, 710 KNUS. Others are talking, we're rocking. 47 will be the high today, and 48 Thursday and Friday, 55 degrees. Pat Neville's coming up on the show, and Dave Gruber's on the show. In the meantime, talk about true favorite people. And Billy and I talk about him all the time with his appearances. We met him years ago when he did a new biography of the legendary Audie Murphy. And he's been such a wonderful guest. And we call on him. And he comes on the show and he makes it work from Baylor University. History professor David Smith. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing?
You know, really good. I knew you were going to be on the show. And I had a couple of questions. They're sort of philosophy of history questions. And we're watching, and I'm a Trump supporter, but I think Donald Trump has been beaten. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I think, you know, they'll weed and seed some of this. But and how quickly then people do become history. And then the question I always have is, how does history judge somebody?
Wow, that's some pretty heavy questions.
Yeah, I know, and you're the person I could ask that of. And I once read a theory that a generation has to die out before it can be accurately judged.
You know what? I think that is at least tacitly what the history profession sort of goes on, that as you get people who are living through events and then writing about them, you're going to have a slightly skewed perspective. You're going to get some rich stuff. But it takes a generation of removal before you can get some really sort of clinical history to move in from the wings and to replace memoir. That's what you're really – it's a transition between memoir and history that is what we're talking about.
And also, because they tie in together, the 1619 Project, and it's a total rewrite of history. And you and I know, or at least you know better than I know, that controlling history is really, really important. And so I turn that over. Why? And they're all tied together because, you know, the control, the how will Donald Trump be viewed in history? And then going back to 1619, but this idea of now, you know, being able to dub all people supremacist or Klansmen or neo-Nazis or whatever the hell the left does with all of this and removing statues. And these are rewrites of history, are they not?
Well, yeah, and no historian wants to do that. What historians want to do is fill out the picture more completely. And the 1619 Project, for all of its shortcomings, it can do that. It can give us a fuller picture, but no one picture should replace
another.
What we all know.
Yeah,
you know, I always think about, you know, the famous Stalin photos in which you know, now someone's there and now they're gone.
Yep.
That isn't how history works at the hands of historians, and that isn't how historians want the public to understand this stuff either. We want the public to understand that this is a complicated story, and our job as historians very often will be to say, wait, it's more complicated than that, but you can figure it out if you take the time. Okay. The Twitter versions of anything are too succinct. They leave stuff out. And it's as wrong to leave the stuff out as it is to move in with new stuff and say, this covers everything over before.
Baylor University's David Smith, he's a great friend on the radio show. But isn't the other one, they say, the victors, the court historians? I've read that term used many, many times, that the victor writes the history, or they're called court historians.
Right. And you know who I think of when you say that? I think of Arthur Schlesinger and Theodore White and Jack Kennedy.
Jack Kennedy, that's right.
And that's right. And these historians who were brought into this orbit, and they created this myth about the Kennedy administration.
They created Camelot.
I was just talking about Schlesinger the other day with a colleague, friend of mine, and we were sitting here in my office, and he looked up and he saw two of Schlesinger's volumes on the New Deal, and he said, "What happened to that guy?"
Yeah. As the story goes, they went out to see Jackie Kennedy after the murder, after the assassination, and she was the one liked the idea because of Camelot, because of Jack liked the record, and when his back hurt, he would go in and lay down and play it. The Broadway play, and she fashioned that, although the truth is light years from that, but she fashioned it, and they created Camelot.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that is historians not acting like historians. That's historians acting like, I don't want to say agenda pushers.
No, please.
But they're trying to overly shape and replace what... It's like they're trying to rewrite history before it is even written.
Well, even, you know, Bobby, when they read the books about Bobby Kennedy on the campaign stump, and there would be thousands of people, and he would say, "They're not here to see me, they're here to see him," meaning Jack, you know. But how about this one? I love having you on the show. David Smith is with us. They've now begun to tear down Winston Churchill's statue in Great Britain.
You know, I mean, it's inexcusable. Right. I mean, it's the triumph of simplistic thinking over nuance. Winston Churchill wasn't perfect at all, but by golly, I mean, there are no statues of perfect people. Yeah. We need statues that commemorate what people did for their country at a certain time. I mean, what a great day to talk about this.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was listening on the way in on a story about a new Native Americans veterans memorial on the Mall. And I think that's fantastic.
I do, too.
It fills out our picture more completely, and it brings some light to people who have not been in the light before. But it's not moving in and erasing other things, or not. It doesn't tear down anything else.
But we, you know, when there's that great line, all is prelude, what you and I are talking about today is only prelude for what will happen tomorrow. And that makes, you know, history this draw, at least for me, and I know for you. But when Churchill is, and I'll tell you what, I just finished, and I think the guy's on the show tomorrow, this book called Empire about William Paley and creating CBS.
Oh, yeah, you've been telling me about you were reading that.
I finished it. And I think one of the things that could possibly happen to our industry, to the talk radio, is these progressives who won't let people speak on college campuses, we know all the things that they do, they're gonna gun for talk radio. I mean, I firmly believe it. I'm not a weird paranoid. I believe they're going to make a run at this business. And I may be affected because I just finished about Murrow and Paley and what they went through with UAC and what they went through with Joe McCarthy. And I read all the McCarthy stuff before, and I'd read Murrow stuff. But this guy captures and puts this all into perspective, and how the affiliates were afraid, and we're living that again because they were so afraid of Joe McCarthy, like these affiliates are so afraid of these progressive leftists. Mm-hmm. And when Murrow decides and Fred Friendly decides and they're going to go – and they're going to take him on. And the amount of heat that Paley has to take. And he shines, but then, you know, they dump Murrow for a game show. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not encouraging when you think about it, unless you can pull out some ways of being encouraged. I mean, it's tough. It's a challenge. And And sometimes you're left thinking nobody likes free speech, you know, except people who write books and host talk shows.
Maybe. And I know enough about this business as people to keep people away. I have that thing, come on the show, come on the show. You know, they're the ones that don't want to come on the show. I want them on the show.
Yeah.
But so what will happen now to Donald Trump? What do you think will happen to Donald Trump?
As in, how will history treat him?
Yeah.
Well, honestly, I don't know. But my suspicions would be, gosh, I mean, I try to look in history and I try to pull analogs from history, but there really aren't
there
any.
There isn't one, no, I think so. Yeah.
I started to say, well, he could be like Carter and he could sort of slowly quiet away for a while. And then I thought,
no,
are you kidding?
No.
So we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. And we're going to have to wait and see how the Republican Party as a party decides whether to move past Trump or to sort of become his party.
They won't. They will go back to being the party of George Bush.
It will be curious to see.
I mean, that's personal belief, but.
And it will be curious to see what will happen to the populist energies that he has sort of unleashed.
Who is he? I mean, when you think, like, I'm a William Jennings Bryan guy, you know, the prairie populist, and I Jennings Bryan going against Wilson, and everybody thinks he flubs up and scopes monkey, but he's really, I'm just a big fan of William Jennings Bryan.
He's consistent, isn't he?
Yeah, and boy. You know, and no one knew what to do with him.
Yeah. Trump is a little like William Jennings Bryan. He's like a mix between William Jennings Bryan and Andrew Jackson.
Wow, that's good.
And I don't know exactly. I need to look more into what William Jennings, you know, he runs in 96. He runs in 1896, William Jennings Bryan, this populist dynamo that you could say hijacks the Democratic Party in 1896.
Absolutely.
And then they nominate him again in 1900.
I bet.
And he loses again. And you know, he's like Adlai Stevenson for the 19th century.
Wow, that's good. Yeah.
And then he lays low for a second. He doesn't run in 04, but he runs again in 08.
Yeah.
And he loses every time. And it's interesting. I'm not really sure how I think about William Jennings Bryan yet. It's a work in progress. It's taking years.
I liked him. He was against banks and against the railroads, and you know he stood up for the Andrew Jackson part of that, the common man. And then when he gets with Wilson, in the first really globalist, and he bails out. No, I won't do this. He was Wilson's Secretary of State.
And, he was. Yeah, he finally got that government job.
And he walks away. He said, "I won't do this."
Yeah, I mean he and Wilson had. Excuse me. He and Wilson had a pretty big falling out over how to deal with the Lusitania.
That's right.
And how Wilson wouldn't deal with it the way Bryan wanted to. And I think that whole business of him walking out of the Wilson administration may be his finest hour.
I agree with. Wow, that's so good. Our guest, I just love him, Baylor University historian David Smith. He does. He walks. Because the Germans tell him, don't get on this boat, don't get on this boat, don't get on this boat.
Yeah. And William Jennings Bryan is without question a man of principle and a man of dedication to rights, you know. But he understands that at some point the president has to step back from, say, principle and operate on the bare facts right in front of him and say, we have the right to do this, but...
Yeah,
but put the mask on.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, no. You know, it's interesting. Back to the Paley book and Paley's relationship with FDR, and I'm back in your friend's book right now. Also, the traitor to his class, which is just what a great book. And I look at guys like your work and his work, and these other people. Man, those guys are so smart. They can do stuff like this, but they make this case. Paley's not his critics, but his contemporaries, and they said that Paley took FDR and made him your neighbor, made him your friend because of the Far Side chats.
Mm-hmm.
That radio made FDR my grandma's friend.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I thought about that, and I think Donald Trump had talk radio, or a lot of talk radio. And I don't know if his tweeters and tweeting was his kind of fireside chatting. And I've listened to Roosevelt's fireside chats, and they're really good. I mean, they're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, did Donald Trump just not have that touch?
He didn't have that touch, and I don't think he wanted that touch. Donald Trump, for all that his critics say about him, I do believe that they're right in that he sought division as a source of strength.
Mm-hmm.
And FDR didn't. FDR wanted unity as a source of strength.
Yes.
And Donald Trump, for all I can tell, seeks strength from division. You know, and that's a little bit like a populist, right? It's us versus them.
Absolutely.
It's us versus them.
Absolutely.
And it's that relentless competition in which we're always the losers and we're trying to press harder.
Mm-hmm. He runs for re-election as an underdog.
Exactly. How can you do that?
No, he did.
How can you run for?
But he was up against,
how can you run for re-election as an outsider?
But he was up against so much, and I, you know, like I said, he's going to be Nixon's going to be Nixon, Carter's going to be Carter. You know. The Bushes are who they are, but this guy's going to be an enigma. I was thinking about this last night. We're reading. I thought, this guy, how does history weigh and measure Donald Trump? Because he's a break in the action. You'll go from the Bushes to the Obamas, from the Clintons. They're all pretty, you know, they're who they are. And then this guy shows up.
You know, I think the useful books about Trump for the next maybe 20 years will be books that look at his time and our time now rather than at him directly.
Well, that's good, too. That's the Nixon stuff.
Yeah, I think that the best books that incorporate Trump over the next 20 years, written by historians, will try to take a temperature of our time right now and see Trump as a symptom of that rather than make him the leading man of the book.
That's very good. Because I thought about that, you know, the I mean, they banged Trump like a drum, and yet here's 71 million plus people that not only just voted for him, but I've seen some of the evidence in those rallies. They love the guy.
Oh yeah, they're dedicated. They absolutely adore him.
It wasn't, and the last time I think, you know, Jack Kennedy had that when I was a boy, you know, the Irish Catholic, and you know, and against, you know, and. God, I mean, neighborhoods love Jack Kennedy.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think they have a different kind of appeal. And I think this goes back to, you know, who are you against and you migrate toward Trump. And with Kennedy, it was who are you and you migrate toward Kennedy. It's a subtle difference, but I think there is a difference.
I take Nietzsche. I steal that Nietzsche line all the time. Don't tell me who likes you. It tells me nothing about you. Tell me who your enemies are, and then I'll know who you are. And, you know, Trump ran against the professional sports and academia and Hollywood and, I mean, the multinationals, and he ran against everybody. And
yeah, except the populists.
Yeah, or accept people that have had enough or whatever it is that they say.
Yeah.
Or maybe sometimes because it just gets away and the country just got away from itself. I don't know. I mean, I'm stuck on this stuff. I really am. And
it's worth being stuck on. It's worth to really think about and it's worth to wrestle with.
Yeah.
And I tell my students this, you know, don't look for the quick answer. Don't look for the easy, you know, summation. Get in the weeds and wrestle with this stuff, and you'll learn something substantive.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm drawn to two people, probably more than two, but really drawn to Nixon and really drawn to FDR. Don't tell me why, because I don't know why. Kennedy, Kennedy because. But I can drop into FDR and spend, you know, like 2 weeks reading just FDR.
Uh-huh.
And then reading all those, like this Paley book, because the Paley book really makes his, you know, comes into his own, the golden age of radio and his competition with David Sarnoff and all these guys. But FDR knows how to be with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Kennedy knew the media. We now know that Jack Kennedy they'd hand out questions into the press corps that Jack had a wise guy, funny answer for. And they were salted in the press corps. And Nixon never could get over that. And I think that Trump never got over the media.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Nixon, you want to be treated a certain way by the media.
Oh, man.
And if you're Trump, you want to be treated a certain way by the media, and you wanting it and your reaction to that want ironically makes it impossible.
Yeah.
Because it sets up a confrontational relationship that somebody like FDR or William McKinley,
yeah, oh yeah,
or Jack Kennedy didn't have a confrontational relationship, yeah, and it paid off.
FDR probably either died in his mistress's arms or she was in the other room. No one knew it.
Yeah, I think she was in the other room.
Yeah.
And he was alone at the time.
He was getting painted. They were painting his portrait.
Yeah, but she was certainly there. She was the last one to be with him, right?
They snuck him out. Snuck her out of the house.
Yeah, I guess the media thinks, well, that's not what the public needs to know.
The war.
Yeah, it's what's going on in April of 45.
Did they know about Jack Kennedy and what his life was like?
No, not at all.
See? But there's people that say they did know.
Well, I mean, well,
again,
they knew, but they didn't report it.
There. Now, when it comes to, well, I don't, where does it change? Changes at Watergate, I think, but
it's got to be Watergate,
yeah,
right?
Watergate and Lyndon Johnson. Yeah. No, I get stuck on this. This is why I love having you on the radio show, because last night I'm thinking about, okay, you know, and I'm pretty sure that Donald Trump is going to have to relinquish. And then how will history treat Donald Trump?
Well, initially it will treat him
harshly,
according to how the next couple of months go.
Yeah, harshly, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, for a while there's going to be some pretty harsh assessments,
yeah,
as the rawness of the nerves are still, well, raw.
But,
and like I said, I think the more, because you're going to get a whole bunch of praising biographies, and you're going to get a whole bunch condemnatory biographies.
Yeah.
And I think the best books for the next 20 years will be the "What Was Life Like in 2020?"
Yeah.
You know, and what was going on in 2016 to 2020,
yeah. Yeah.
That led to this being the show in the White House.
I've been able, lucky because of this job, to interview and spend time with a lot of people involved in Watergate, particularly people on the inside with Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
And those final 70 or 80 hours when Nixon knows. And, I mean, it must have been just unbearable. And
yeah. And
I thought, wonder what it's like in the Trump White House right now.
I don't know. I'm wondering, and you're wondering this too, right? Will there at some point be a group of senators that goes to the White House
and says,
it's
time. Yeah.
It's time.
It's time. That's what happened to Nixon. It was that,
exactly what happened to Nixon.
Yeah, you, Scott, and the line is, Dick, it's time.
Yeah, and you wonder, well, why was the party different then, and why is it different now?
Well,
and that brings you into talking about the Republican Party as a mechanism. The Republican Party was never the party of Nixon.
No. And it wasn't the party of Trump. And by the way, it wasn't the party of Reagan. They wanted Poppy Bush. They didn't want Reagan.
Yeah, it's weird how parties work. Mm-hmm. It's weird how parties ebb and flow.
We're coming up on time, but I always say that, like, when you go to the Democratic Convention, they'll show a picture of Jack Kennedy, and then there's nobody. Until Obama. You ever notice Lyndon Johnson doesn't exist? You know, you ever notice that? Like, they show these flashes of great Democrats. You know, they show FDR, and then they jump over Harry Truman, and then a glimpse of Jack Kennedy.
And Bobby Kennedy.
And Bobby, of course. And then it goes, whoa. They don't even show Bill Clinton. You know,
yeah.
they show Barack Obama, you know. And,
yeah.
And
you know, where is Fritz Mondale?
Oh, yeah, Fritz or the Duke, Dukakis.
Dukakis.
Remember the Duke?
Where's the picture of him in the tank?
In the tank with a hat on. But that's what they do. And of course, Republicans don't mention Richard Nixon.
Oh, right. Or Gerald Ford, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford, who gets clipped anyhow.
Gerald Ford. I remember an episode of All in the Family where Mike Stivic was ragging on Gerald Ford, and Archie Bunker finally blew his stack and said, leave the guy alone. He's doing a heck of a job for a guy nobody voted for.
That's right. I remember one time, my brother, I was gone, but my brother said when My dad, by the way, the bunker stuff all turns up in this book, Empire, because that was the CBS when they came to Paley and they said, because they know the Red Skelton show is fading and I Love Lucy and nobody wants to watch it anymore. So there comes this guy, comes in the door, and they got Archie, which really saves them. And but the stuff that Archie said, my dad would laugh, and then the other stuff, he wouldn't laugh. He said, my brother tells that. He said, when Archie got a laugh, the old man got one. But remember, and he said they were going, Michael and Meathead, they were going to the commune for the weekend, and Archie said, people that live in communes are communists. I don't know. Leave us with something. What happens?
Well, don't forget the election of 1876 wasn't decided until about a week before inauguration.
Yeah. And
I think about that a lot these days.
I tell people that for 30 days, the news media called him President-elect Gore.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And that dragged on until the middle of December.
Yeah, it did.
So just be patient and have some historical perspective, and times get interesting rather than panicky.
You're the best. I am so glad we have become friends and you do this radio show.
It's a
highlight.
This is great. This is a highlight of my week every time I'm with you, buddy.
Professor, be safe. Thank you, sir, very much
for
your time. Professor David Smith from Baylor. Dan Kaplis Law. I'm thrilled. I mean, Danny started as a sponsor last week. And as a serious firm, we say this all the time, for serious people get hurt. Serious personal injury and wrongful death, and that's when you call Dan. Danny and I meet. I'm at KL. Danny comes on to KOA and went to his wedding. And remember when he asked Amy and all the kind of stuff. But my daughter, Danny Kaplis helped my daughter. And in a time where it was, and he would call her at night to see if she was okay. That's Kaplis. 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551. His website's DanKaplisLaw.com, DanKaplisLaw.com. He's the man. And, you know, working-class kid, working-class background, worked hard. If you need Dan's help, call him. Open up the door, 303-770-5551, 303-770-5551, DanKaplisLaw.com.
Now, back to the Peter Boyles Show.
Good morning, everyone. We have two lines open. Wednesday, November the 11th, 2020. Pat Neville's on the show. Dave Gruber's on the show. 47 will be the high today, 48 Thursday, and Friday, 55 degrees. And right now, home affordability may be a lot better than most people believe. It's because low mortgage rates provide shoppers with a lot of buying power. And you spend less on interest so you can afford more home. I know people want to help navigate the process, and they are there for you, and they'll take you under their wing, and they'll make it all right. They did it for me. American Financing, they really are in it for you. No upfront fees, no pressure. Simple conversation around ways to get you into a home of your own for less. Custom loan rate, access to down payment assistance really is easier than you think. Worth a call to American Financing. Just call them this morning. 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. And they'll just pick up the ball and go with it on Save You Dough online, AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. Let's just begin. We go to Brian on line one. Brian, thank you. Good morning. You're on the show.
Hey, Peter, I wouldn't be so quick to think that Biden's going to be in there.
Okay.
The problem we have is every day we watch, we know there's one thing of winning and there's another thing of cheating. So we know he's cheating. You look at just what came out last night. They had the Biden van where people were pulling out ballots, filling out ballots on the side of the van. This lady caught him. She was on the Ingram angle.
But here's what I want to stop you with. I have looked at everything. And I still have a lot of question marks. I focused on Pennsylvania but again, a lot of these things are rumors on internets and radio talk shows. And you have to look at what goes on in courtrooms. And
yeah, but they have people, people that have sworn affidavits.
Are you concerned?
And we know for a fact what we see. Just take what we see. Why are they blocking the windows and counting behind?
Listen to what
you're
doing.
Why, when they ordered them to move 6 foot forward, they move 6 feet? This is just what we know.
My friend, listen to me. You're saying these things. I made a list. The signed affidavits.
That's what we know, fact.
No, actually, we don't. The signed affidavits.
I saw the blocked windows, Peter.
I understand that, but it doesn't mean. I'm with you. Channel 9 blocked their windows, too. the signed affidavits that are attesting to illegal activity in Pennsylvania and Nevada. Now, then you got the computer glitches that they claim flipping Republican votes in Michigan, dead people voting in Pennsylvania. There's all these different things out there. But as we talked about the first day and the second day and the third day of this, you have to be able to go into a courtroom and you have to hang that on somebody and not Fox News, not 710 KNUS talk radio, not the Internet. So that's where we have to go.
That's fair. But let's remember, they've had 6 days. I watched a show 48 hours where they're trying to find the criminal. We've had 6 days, Peter, from just what we see. Let's just go with what we see and what we know.
Easy.
Okay? Screw the rest of it. You don't block and hide for a reason. The problem they got, if it was like say it was a Mitt Romney or a Bushy or one of these jokers, people would be just like, well, I kind of voted for the less of the evil. The problem they have, Trump supporters pay attention. That's the worst thing they want right now. Trump's like America's dad. Let's face it, he is. People love the guy. They don't just vote because... And you think that that 70 million people are just going to let Biden get in there?
Probably
more than we'll ever know.
Let us exchange.
All right.
You know, there were tighter elections than this. Jack Kennedy, and I believe Kennedy and the Democrats stole that from Nixon. But, you know, when you watch this stuff, and again, I'm not taking a side. I think the truth has its own side. And a lot of talk radio is my side, your side. At this point right now, I don't know. I haven't seen anything happen in a courtroom that would throw it to Donald Trump.
Yeah, we got to give him time. I mean, they've had 6 days. We can't expect him to come out the next day and boom, it's all over.
But
let me ask you an honest question.
Sure.
What do you think, with everybody watching all this stuff come in from the, they at least know of 450,000 ballots where they just voted. And these are in the states of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada. So it's all the Democratic states. So we know that. They at least have 450,000, probably more, where they just voted for the candidate. Boom, boom. They shut down. We know that they shut down Georgia. Because what we suspect is all the counties were coming in and they said, oh, man, you better throw some more ballots in there. At the same time, they're blocking people from watching.
You're jumping across what's going to happen in the courtroom.
But what do you think the people of America are going to do when they're facing losing their country over socialism? Do you think 70 million people are just going to lay down and say that's cool?
I can't speak for anybody but myself. What you're doing is quantum leaping. What I'm saying to you is... I can tell you that, and I got these things stacked up. In Texas, this woman charged with felony criminal counts. It didn't turn out. In Michigan, the software glitch that switched, they claim, 6,000 Republicans to Democrats. And that started the hand count. And then the software comes up. And the glitch was discovered in Georgia. There are the arrest of postal workers, but the postal worker thing really didn't come out. There's a Pennsylvania postal worker that signed an affidavit. He's recanted, and then he's gone back the other way.
Why do you think he recanted, Peter?
I'm trying to make sense to you. In about 2 seconds, we're not going to have this. In Philly, the Democrats threatened to stop counting if the Republicans were allowed to observe. I've made a list. There's an observer in Pennsylvania that said the number of votes cast was greater than the number of people entering the voting stations. These are what's said. Now... You have to do is you have to go into courtrooms and you have to have attorneys and they have to show not talk radio nonsense, not Internet nonsense, not CNN nonsense, not Fox News, but show something in a courtroom that could radically change the picture of this presidential election. And if you can't do that, then Donald Trump is lost.
Okay, I agree with you, Peter, and I think they will be able to do that. And we all know, we got to look at, it seems like we all focus on little things instead of putting the whole picture together. The Democrats we know are crooked as hell. We know that they wanted these mail-in ballots for a reason. They don't do anything just for not a reason. We know they blocked the windows for a reason. That's just what we know. But what do you think is going to happen? I'm just going to ask you a straight question. Do you think that 70 million people are just going to say, it's probably more than that. You think that they did a survey. They said how many people
Don't speak for 70. Don't listen, please. Speak for yourself. What are you going to do?
I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to stand up.
You're just talking now. Tell me what you're going to do.
I'm going to find other people like-minded. I'm not just going to let
And then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do?
I'm going to fight back. How
are you going to fight back?
Well, we're going to start by protesting. They're going to see more protesters like they did the Trump rally. People aren't just going to let this country just say,
only person you can speak for is yourself. What are you going to do?
Pat, it doesn't even matter what I'm specifically doing.
I just answered it by saying,
what do you think everybody's going to do voted for Trump?
Listen, I'm going to try you one more time. The only person I can speak for is me. The only person you can speak for is you. What are you going to do?
I'm going to network and I'm going to go protest. I'm going to start. Right, now, man. What do you think everybody else is going to do?
I don't know. I kind of try you one more time.
Or do you think we're in for rough times, Peter?
Listen to me one more time. This is what makes talk radio what it's turned into. I don't know what other people are going to do. I know this much.
Underestimated the American people. Everybody's underestimating Trump, and we're going to find out.
Did you underestimate the Colorado Republican Party?
I don't even try. They're all a uniparty. We know that, Peter. Okay. We're not stupid. Right. Okay. That's why we love Trump.
All right. Well, then.
I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. Okay, I'm neither of them. I'm an independent constitutionalist.
So what happens next?
Well, what's going to happen next is we're going to see what comes out in the courts, like you said. But just from what I know, people don't hide things because they're legit on the top.
It's all supposition. You're making supposition. Okay. It's fine. It's talk
radio. I've seen them block the windows, Peter.
I understand that. But
I looked at
There were observers inside when the windows are blocked. Listen to me one more time, Brian. I'm not looking for an argument. I'm asking you to face what you're saying.
And I am facing it.
I don't think so, because it's all of this and all of that. What I'm saying to you is what happens in a courtroom or a series of courtrooms in Nevada and Pennsylvania, Georgia, other places, Michigan, and it comes back and they say, Donald Trump lost. What are you going to do? Are you going to accept it?
Peter, if it was a legit loss, I would accept it. If it was a legit loss. From going to court and all that other stuff.
And the courts say it's legit.
If they try to cheat, I won't. Do it legit, if they would have done this legit, I would believe it and I would move on. I'd suck it up like a man.
All right. Well, then,
but I'm not going to let them.
You may have to.
But I'm not blind.
Okay.
I'm not blind.
Good call. All right. Good call. All right. No, I mean, I know the emotions are running high. And we've been over the belief versus knowledge parts of life so many times, it's ad nauseum, including yesterday with Moses. The point of it is, I was a Trump supporter, a Trump backer. I voted for Donald Trump. But what about the mathematical part of this? What if Donald Trump is beat? And the Broncos are not going to go to the Super Bowl. The pony's not going to be under the tree. What if Donald Trump's beat? You think the Republican Party is going to come and rescue you? You're out of your mind. All right, Dr. Julie McCallum, changed my life. My daughter's ready for focus on making the most of your life. I know you guys want all of this to be true, but what if it isn't? You know, the people that told me, you know, Cory Gardner's going to win. There's going to be a landslide electoral vote for Donald Trump in Colorado. I wanted Donald Trump to win. Wednesday morning, a week ago, I was so happy. I thought he had it. Did they steal it from him? Was it stolen? I don't know. But right now, it looks as though he is going to lose. Now, I know it's a bitter pill, but it's a truthful one. And if you think a bunch of 65-year-old guys are going to get up and start burning dumpsters, I think you're wrong. And you can thank the Republican Party for this. You can thank why did both Bush brothers not only call and pick up the phone and call Biden, but they called Harris. And they said something on the internet about Trump. He wasn't going to the uphill fight for this one. Dr. McCallum, doctors at Cenogenics can help. Getting older certainly is a challenge. Lord knows, right? How do you take care of your body? You can't, and again, you got to move through your older years, feeling at the top of your game. Dr. McCallum's team can help you get metabolism, get your hormones balanced and healthy, creating programs just for you. Talk to her. The best thing to do is you can talk to Jackie. She answers the phone. She's Dr. McCallum's assistant. You call 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681, and Jackie answers the phone, and you set up that free 20-minute phone call with Dr. McCallum. 20 minutes. Make up your mind after that, but take the gimme call. Ask her a question about yourself. Denver.cenogenics.com. Call today. Get your life back. She's the best. 720-387-3681.
Listen live at radio.com. This is the Peter Boyle Show.
All right, everybody. Lines are full. Good morning on a Wednesday, the 11th morning in November. Coming up, one of the hopes that you could have a good Republican Party, Pat Neville. And another good hope for that, too, is Dave Gruber. 47 to high, 48 tomorrow. Email, you're being a real dumbass this morning by saying it's time for Trump to give up. Those words never came out of my mouth. I never once said give up. The legal battle is just starting. It takes time. The goal is to have all of the votes that showed up beyond the statutory times in various states thrown out along with other illegal cast votes. Yes, I never said it was time. Any hope of Donald Trump retaining the Oval Office rests, you have to have irrefutable proof of voting fraud. Now, keep in mind, we live in this era where people want to believe, especially with how the news operates. I despise them. But proof has to be there that there was fraud. And that fraud, all of that, I'm told, is being assembled. Fine. I have a stack of charges. I spend my afternoons reading the charges. I read Rudolph Giuliani. He said he has the evidence to change Pennsylvania's election rules using the law. I want to see it. So far, it hasn't worked. I'm not claiming there's no evidence of fraud. I just haven't seen it. But what's this one say? Here it is. Back to bashing Republicans. That's your roots. And that's what you do best. How the hell could you not bash the Republicans? That's the part of this that is going on. I understand the anger. But, I tell you about a great way, something to give your whole family for the holiday gift-giving season. It's free TV. Get rid of cable. Free TV's mission, educate, empower, and help you make smart decisions about television, internet, entertainment technologies. I mean, it's been a year. They came and put this in the family unit, and we have three TVs, and so hook up all TVs. And TV and internet tech can be intimidating and confusing, certainly for me, but these guys came, took them 2 hours. Then they put all the junk together, and I had to take it back to Comcast, but they do it all for you. They get you out of the Comcast jam. Cable TV bills only keep getting higher. The team at Free TV provides no obligation consultation. Talk to them. They come to your house. Go to their website. Learn more, FREETVEE.com, FREETVEE.com, 303-794-8600. Talk to them over the phone. And when they cove it all up and everything when they come and do it. But what a wonderful holiday gift. Everybody would be so glad you did it. And you save bucks and television's better. 303-794-8600. It really does work. 5 minutes to get you on the job. Let me start here. Roger on one. Roger, you're on a radio show. We got about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. Good morning.
Well, a couple of things real quick as far as the fraud. Everybody knew who Al Capone was and how he made his money, but what could they prove?
They got him on taxes. They got him on taxes and guns.
Yeah, but they didn't get him on murder or bootlegging or anything.
No, they did not.
Yeah, and the other thing real quick with Cory Gardner, it seems to me he didn't want to win the election. So why didn't he step down and say, I'm not going to run this time for whatever reason, and give somebody who wanted to fight for that job.
That's the Republican Party that I'm accused of bashing. The Republican Party in Colorado is an absolute clown show and has been. And if people want to continue to support these fools, then they're going to get the same reactions.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but you would think Corey would say instead of out a loser, I'll just step down and let them do their own thing.
Here's my question for you.
Okay.
Do you think that Cory Gardner's going back to Yuma, Colorado, and become a small town boy?
No, I don't think so. I think he's already knew that he was going to lose, and he's got a job waiting.
But they
for
didn't
him.
Even try to fight. They didn't do the ads. Yeah. They didn't campaign. I mean, they never showed up for rallies. And look, they deserved to get what they got.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you.
All right.
One more. Okay. Thanks. Email. And did you say with Professor Smith it's time for some sense? No. We talked about Richard Nixon when they came in and said, it's time, Dick. It was you, Scott. You railed against the Ramses for years without irrefutable proof. No, there was plenty of proof. It is an interesting morning. We've been going through this now for about 8-9 weeks on the morning show on 710 KNUS. The truth. The truth is this interesting beacon. And we started talking about the Republicans long ago, but when it really knuckled down. And people were telling me Trump was going to landslide Colorado and landslide America. And I'm saying, no, it's too tight. It's too tight. When people say Trump's going to win, and I always say, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I want Donald Trump to win, but you can't play this game. You got a radio show to do. I read all the different stuff that people are saying. There's evidence. Okay, let's go to court and see it. Let's go to court and see it. Any hope that this president has, and he's my president, of retaining the Oval Office, you got to have proof of voter fraud, not talk show nonsense, not internet gas bags, not Fox News or CNN or MSNBC, or you got to have proof. You got to walk in a courtroom. And by the way, to my other person, the grand jury wanted to indict John and Patsy Ramsey for the murder of that little girl, and Alex Hunter banked him off. So take that home, too. On the other side, I really, really love him. Strong young man, Patrick Neville. He was minority leader, and he stepped down because of the Republican Party. And Pat, we'll talk with Pat about what hopes are next. What does the Republican Party now do? If Donald Trump is beaten, what does the Republican Party? It turns back into the Bush Party. You watch. And I know, don't bash them. We're back after this with Pat Neville and then your calls.